the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pearl White system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 19th of July 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've reached the end of another week, and I know you listeners are listening to this on your way home from work, looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to hearing from Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, how are you doing today?
All right, here we are, Friday again. Clown World in review, Longshanks and Lampshade. That's right. Yeah, get the horn out. We're going to need it today. I think we've got something honkalicious today, don't we?
Definitely. We're going to be talking about the dumbing down of language today, and particularly the dumbing down of language to make words genderless in order to be more inclusive. We want to include this 0.0001% of the population that don't actually know what gender they are. So in order to do that, we're going to change all the words to exclude everybody who does know what gender they are and are either male or female. That seems to be what the general gist of this is. And we see this going on everywhere, basically, from Justin Trudeau talking about we don't say mankind, we say humankind to teachers in the schools. And now it's making its way into the city ordinance codes in Berkeley, of all places. Of course, it would be Berkeley. They've got a huge Antifa left-wing presence at Berkeley, if I remember rightly. I think they rioted when Milo was speaking at the university there a while back and burned the place down because they had a Catholic homosexual Jew speaking there, bizarrely enough. But Berkeley City Council, they are now making these changes in a bid to encourage inclusivity. Berkeley City Council adopted an ordinance on Tuesday to replace gender-suggestive language with gender-neutral terms in the city's municipal code. No longer will he and she be used by the workers of the local government. Male and female workers will instead be referred to collectively in the third person as they and them as a result of the ruling. Well, I can see an immediate problem with this. How do you say he did it or she did it? You have to say they did it, them did it. How do you give a description of the person that actually did this? It's like when they say you can't racially profile people and you can't say, well, the suspect was black, and they just say, oh, the suspect was a man. Well, now they can't even say the suspect was a man. They have to say the suspect was a them. This is absolutely ridiculous, Grandpa.
Well, you know, and back in the day, you know, this sort of thing that, you know, would get you red marks on your paper in third grade for using the wrong pronoun. You know, to teach back in the day during saner times, during non-clown world, your teacher, you would have got in trouble and a failing grade for using incorrect pronouns, but not in clown world. See, in clown world, we're going to use third persons when they don't actually apply. I think it's also funny they do this in the name of inclusivity, being inclusive. But as you already pointed out, what they're actually doing is like really excluding the vast majority of sane people. Of course, then again, we're talking about Berkeley, so the vast majority of people there may not be sane. So that could be a possibility as well. But they're inclusive, but by excluding normal people as they cater to this tiny fraction of a percentage. Of course, in the end, it's all just signaling points. They're just signaling what absolute good thinkers they are. You see, they're going to use these hateful pronouns like she. Like, what woman would be offended if she was called by she. I don't even understand how trannies would be offended if you think about it, because trannies, you know, self-identify as a woman. So it seems to me like maybe a tranny would be offended if you didn't call him, her, she. Oh, hell, I can't keep up.
It's a war on grammar. That's what it is. Yeah, I mean, that's something I've always been confused about Grandpa as well, because they do want to be referred to as her or he. They don't want to be referred to as they or them. So I think what it really means is that only the transgenders themselves will now be called he or she, and everybody else will just be them. Well, the legislation, which passed unanimously among council members on its first reading, will also see the thousands of cities' manhole covers transmuted into maintenance holes. Well, there's obviously total insanity on this council, because this passed unanimously. All of them thought that this was a wonderful thing to do. And they're going to have to change the names of so many different things. I mean, manhole covers, I guess, you know, woman hole cover doesn't really have the same feel to it. Maintenance hole, they're going to call it. But what about the cover? What's the cover going to be called?
I read that and I just can't help to feel like there's a really disgusting gay joke in there. There's a really disgusting gay joke in there. So your manhole will no longer be called a manhole. It's gonna be a maintenance hole. And it passed unanimously. Isn't that great? We're unanimously barreling through clown world now.
Craftsmen will also be an accepted term no more, with a city set to instruct its workers to use the word craftspeople instead. But what about the singular? I guess what was that? Craftsperson? I've actually got a list here of a load of these names that they're actually going to be changing. Some of them are pretty bizarre. One of them that they're changing is fraternal. They don't like the word fraternal. So they're going to say social. What about fraternity? Sociality? I mean, what word can they change that to? And why would they want to change the word fraternal? Well, because it's related to the word brother. But then you've got paternal, haven't you? Which is to feel fatherly towards someone. So if they're going to do away with that, I mean, they're going to do away with the feeling of feeling fatherly towards someone. Parental? I mean, that doesn't quite fit, does it? When you've got the word like paternal or maternal. I mean, this is so insulting to mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. I don't understand how anybody could go along with this, really. And yet this whole council have, apparently the people there have said, what the hell are you doing? Haven't you got more important things to do than messing around with language like this? But they've completely ignored this. And the guy that's actually responsible for it is Chinese, of course, and fresh out of university. I don't know quite what they make of this in China, though.
Well, yeah, he's fresh out of the indoctrination camp. But the important thing here, Sven, you got to remember, is when you start down the rabbit hole, you always want to attach like a rappelling rope, because you get sucked in. You know, you go the next thing. Well, what could this lead to? And then, you know, and you can get sucked completely down the rabbit hole. So you got to have a rappelling rope so you can drag yourself back out, because there is no bottom to the rabbit hole. And that's just exactly it. It never does end. It never, just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, imagine telling people that this would be a thing and everybody would say, you are crazy. There's no way this will be a thing, not even in Berkeley. But yes, it is a thing in Berkeley. And I think something that's an important takeaway here, though, on kind of a serious note, is because I see people on the dissident right and they act as though, you know, they get blackpilled, and I understand, I do it, everybody falls into it, but they get blackpilled and they act as though this is, you know, this is going to just keep on and continue. And stories such as this, I mean, to me, really highlight the fact that this is completely unsustainable. I mean, it really is. We're down to that. We laugh about it. We call it clown world and everything. But on a serious note, it just really highlights how stupid it is. And at some point in time, this denial of reality and jumping around and acting silly with this stuff, it's not sustainable. Is this sort of thing, if it were to continue down the rabbit hole as a nation, I mean, was this sustainable in 100 years? Where would we be in 100 years going down this road? No, nobody can say that's realistic. Okay, so 50 years, 20, 10. Now we're just quibbling about a timeline. It's absolutely not sustainable, and it will collapse. It will collapse under its own weight because it's just the utter denial of reality. And the utter silliness of it. Everybody knows this is stupid. The people promoting this on some deep down instinctual level have to know this is retarded. But they keep pushing anyway because they think it makes them good thinkers. It makes them right thinkers. But it's not sustainable. It won't continue. It can't continue.
It's just a reversal to ignorance, basically, doing away with all the distinctions. They've done away with the distinctions between the different species of human, the different subspecies of human, the races. Now they're doing away with the distinction between the genders. They'll probably do away with distinctions between the animals next, and eventually there'll be no distinctions at all, and everything will just be called life. And it really is a reverting to ignorance. Instead of progressing to learning more about things, it's sort of burying your head in the sand like an ostrich and saying, well, I don't want to see these differences between things because differences imply a hierarchy and superiority, and we can't have that. We must have everything equal, which really shows you that this equality idea is all about dragging everything down to the lowest possible level. The only way you can really have equality is to squash everything until it's completely flat and nothing stands up. Well, to justify the vernacular overhaul, a memo for the motion explains, in recent years, broadening societal awareness of transgender and gender non-conforming identities has brought to light the importance of non-binary gender inclusivity. So how has that been brought to light, the importance of this? Well, it's been made out to be so important because banks and very, very wealthy individuals have funded this transgender movement with the basic idea of attacking the pillars of Western civilization. That's what it's all about. I mean, these transgenders, they don't make up a large portion of the population. They're used as proxy warriors, basically, for the oligarchs and the people that want to tear down Western civilization. And this is all gobbledygook, really, broadening societal awareness of transgender and gender non-conforming identities. There's no societal awareness of it. It's all coming from the top down. It's all pushed by what people see on the television, what people see in Hollywood, and what people get brainwashed with in the universities. They say, therefore, it is both timely and necessary to make the environment of City Hall and the language of city legislation consistent with the principles of inclusion. And there we have it. I mean, because it's actually the exact opposite of the principle of inclusion. It's excluding everybody but these transsexuals. As I say, Grandpa, I really do think what this means is that they're only going to call transsexuals he or she, and everybody else is going to be they or them.
Well, and yeah, it highlights the lie. It really highlights the lie because they talk about, you know, equality, and you were talking about, you know, what, do we just keep spiraling down until you can't even have a distinction between animals? It's just life, you know. But that's the lie. No, because the idea is that you will wait to be told by your overlords what the correct designation is. I mean, just like this here, they, them, well, who's to say those aren't offensive terms to somebody out there? So the whole idea is, you know, they masquerade it as equality. But the idea is that you are in a constant state of submission and you wait to be told by your overlords that, you know, what's the acceptable thing to say, and you dare not step out of line, or you will be quashed. And it's social insanity. It really is. I mean, they call it like societal awareness, but it's actual societal insanity. It's like a complete, I don't know. It's like the old saying that, you know, those that God wants to destroy first causes them to go insane. And as a society, we've gone completely insane. And you know, it's insane. Even, you know, we're talking about transgenders here, and it's insane even to some of these people. You know, believe it or not, contrary to what my detractors say, I hear from all sorts of people. I do. I've had all sorts of people write me. I've had transgenders write to me and tell me, well, you know, I know you're not going to, you know, necessarily be accepting of my lifestyle, but I just wanted to say this insanity is crazy. Even as a transgender, I think this is insane. I've had Jews write to me and say, you know, don't hate all of us because I'm a Jew and I think this is insane. So even there are a few of these people, like with this stuff here, that among the transgenders, they realize that this is just a weapon. They're being used as a weapon to destroy society. And it's being used, they're being used by those who want to become the self-declared overlords of what you can and cannot say. I mean, they literally can't control what you think. But this is as close as they can get. You know, it doesn't really matter what you think. If you are so much in a state of submission, if they have so much control over you that you are afraid that you're afraid to use the wrong pronoun. You're afraid to say he or she or they or whatever the hell, because you might say something that's not approved by your overlords, then you're going to get into some sort of trouble. And it's just it's all about control, and it's all about forcing you to submit.
They must be sort of buoyed up with the success that they had with outlawing words like nigger and packy, and now they're going to move on to words like he and she. Total insanity. Apparently Berkeley has a long history of this sort of thing, leading on politically and socially liberal issues, and Tuesday's motion became one of the first of its kind to pass in the US. So they're obviously expecting this to set a trend, basically. They're going to set a blazing trend with this across the United States, and they're going to change the civic law codes to just get rid of the words he and she. And what really is Berkeley about, Grandpa? What has it led on politically and socially? What does it mean here? Is it, you know, a city that's just full of hippies and Antifa and anarchists, which is the way I imagine it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a shit-lib leftist city out in California. Right. And I mean, it's like if you had a tumor that's the core. It is. It's a shit-lib leftist city. And I get, they sit there and talk about they've led a politically and socially liberal issues. I'm sorry, these aren't liberal issues, because I'm old enough. I remember like 70s and 80s what liberals were. And this is not even liberalism. This is cultural cancer. This is cultural Marxism. And they've kind of co-opted the term, but no, it is. It's shit lib leftist utopia. And I think it's interesting, though, as they talk about, you know, leading the way, they're projecting their intentions. I mean, when we sit here and say they're not going to stop with this, they're going to move on to even more insanity. People, well, surely they'll stop after gay marriage. Well, no, they have already moved on, and they themselves are projecting their intentions. It's not going to stop. It's never going to stop. You know, well, if they had their way, it's never going to stop. They're always going to be moving on to something else.
And they call that progression, when really it's regression. I know of liberals that have left the liberal movement. They said this is not what I joined up for, all of this. And I'm also aware of transsexuals that tried to join a nationalist organization. So it's not like this sort of behavior is supported by the vast majority of the people in these groups that they claim to be representing. I say, as a result, more than 24 frequently used terms will be changed in the city code when the measure is fully implemented. Such changes will include the term manpower being eschewed for human effort or workforce, while man-made will be substituted for human-made, artificial, manufactured, machine-made, or synthetic. I mean, what about the word history? How are they going to change that to themstery? I mean, really, this you know, it's just promoting a lie. I mean, when you think about something like history, it's called history because it's his story, because it's the story of man. It's the story of man who created everything, and man who wrote everything down so that he could pass on everything that he'd done to his descendants. And this is why we have the civilization that we have, because everything's been able to be handed down, passed down, by writing, basically. And it's always been men that have done that. That's why it's history. When it talks about man-made and manpower, that's because men have made all these things. Women don't have the strength to do these things. Women, for most of the time, have been bringing up children, which is where they're going to be most happy. So this isn't just changing things and excluding people. It's also promoting a lie about reality, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, we've always had the term, like, mankind. You know, and I mean, I don't... Yeah, why, you know, mankind, all of humanity. I mean, I don't understand why. Well, yeah, I do. But it's just so silly on its face. And I love this machine made, where instead of saying man made, we'll use terms like machine made. Well, like the machine just came into being all on its own and just started creating things. maybe we have to start worrying about using the correct pronouns to describe machines. You know, they may not want to, we might offend the machines by what we call them. There is no end. There just is no end to the bottom of the rabbit hole.
I think a lot of this is actually just hatred of men, because man has always been derived from that verse in Genesis where it says God created man, male and female created he them. So the word man included both male and female under this word man. And nobody complained about that. Women were quite happy to come under that term of man. It's only now that they want to get rid of that. They want to say, oh no, because that's purely male. But it wasn't. The word man has always, within context, been used to also apply to women. So what is the problem with that? That's the common usage of the word. It meant men and women, male and female, created he them. And yet they won't stand for that. So there's an element of hatred of men in this as well. As I said, the sponsor of this ordinance is Councilman Rigel Robinson, a Chinaman, a 23-year-old recent graduate of the University of California, Berkeley. And he says that his time in college expanded his awareness of gender issues. So what we've got here, we've got someone wet behind the ears. He's barely into his 20s. And he's the main driver of this. And the reason why he is driving this is because at college, instead of learning anything sensible, he was brainwashed with gender issues. I mean, that's what I read from this. You've got somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, but barely out of school. And what he learned at school is gender issues. I mean, why do people go to university? They go there to learn, not to be brainwashed with things like this. I mean, if he actually had a degree in gender issues, would that qualify him to be leading the council? I don't think so. I mean, what has gender issues got to do with it?
Well, apparently it does qualify him in clown world. Exactly. That was my first reaction to what the hell is a recent graduate doing now as a city council person? Yeah. And these people, you know, it's amazing. And I've seen it IRL before. You know, you get somebody and they go to college and they go to a prestigious university such as Berkeley, and they come out with this sense of arrogance, this sense of self-importance that they're so much smarter than everybody else. And now they have to show you, they have to lead the ignorant rubes down the correct pathway of light to their truth, which of course is a lie. And it's just, there's just a sense, there's just a element of utter arrogance involved. You can just tell. I mean, he's right out of college. He somehow gets on the city council. Why the hell? I don't know. And now he's got to lead this effort to show everybody, you know, the true path of enlightenment. But it's actually more like the true path of insanity.
I think he's probably on the council because of a diversity quota. And because of this intersectionality thing, he understands that he's only there because of the diversity quota. And therefore, he sees it as his role to push diversity. And part of diversity is obviously pushing the queer agenda, pushing the transgender agenda. So I think that probably plays into it. Berkeley obviously wanted to put him forward and say, look, we've got a person of color that is on our council, and he's making these motions, and look at what most splendid motions he is making for us here, changing the language to make it gender neutral. We've got a quote here from him. He says, gender neutral language language creates a lot of room to acknowledge that it's not just men running the country. And that's his explanation for the sponsored notion. But as I said, the word man has always included men and women, male and female, created he them. So, you know, if you hear of mankind or manpower, you don't just think, oh, it's all men. You don't think mankind is just all men, because how would men be able to reproduce themselves? They need women for that as well. So what is he saying here? Is he saying that by changing the language, it forces people to acknowledge that it's not just men running the country? I mean, we know it's not just men running the country. I mean, particularly in Britain, we can see what women running the country has done to Great Britain. I mean, we can see Theresa May's premiership, unfortunately. We know exactly what it's like to have women running the country, and in Scotland as well, with the dwarf from the north and her communist agenda that she's forcing on Scotland. So it's not like people are going to forget that we've got women politicians. And he originally submitted a request in March to the city manager for a plan to adjust Berkeley's code to reflect gender-neutral language and add more space on city forms to include preferred pronouns. Now, I can see them having a problem with that, because Facebook have got, what, 50, 60 different pronouns that you can use or whatever it is. I can see them not actually having enough room on these forms for people to put these ticks there and saying what they would prefer to be called. Why can't they just be named after their biology? What's on their birth certificate? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, city forms now, one-page city form now be like the thickness of an encyclopedia, because they have to include all of these things. I also think it's kind of funny because he makes this quote of it's not just men running the country, but yet he's a guy. I assume he's a guy. And even in the article, he originally submitted a request. Should it not be they? they submitted a request. I mean, even the article itself is stepping on the landmine now. I mean, why are we saying he? They? I think he should check his male privilege. You know, he's a guy. Who's he to step in? You know, he should check his privilege. It's just all so much silliness, and there is no logic to it. And that's what'll really drive you insane, is when you sit here, because we have a kind of a mind that we try to find the logic in things. You know, we look at stuff like this, and this is part of what I think it really does. It affects people, and maybe it's even one of the elements that makes people in our society go off the deep end, is because we're wired to assume that people are trying to are telling us the truth, and we're wired to try to find the logic in something. And then when you're handed something such as this, these demands that are completely illogical. There is no logic here. There's none. But your mind, even on a subconscious level, still sits there and keeps messing with it, trying to figure out some sort of logic, some sort of reasoning, when there is none. And I think maybe, you know, all of these different things, and this is just one small aspect of it, working together actually, you know, on a certain level, basically drives people insane.
Yeah, you know, it's neurotic, isn't it? I mean, because we're programmed to look at things universally. So if you're not supposed to say he or she, that should count in every instance. And yet here we've got him talking about the reason for this is because we want people to acknowledge that it's not just men running the country. So he wants people to acknowledge that it's women running the country, but you're not supposed to say men or women. So there's confusion there, which causes neuroses, which causes people to go mental, basically. There's so much neuroticism, especially around race and around gender. Well, the council's vote confirmed changes to the municipal code through a decision on updating forms, rather, though a decision on updating forms remains to be decided upon. In total, the cost incurred by the city as a result of the name changing is expecting to cost around $600. I think it's going to cost a little bit more than that if they're going to have to change road signs and absolutely everything else. And what about the fines that people are going to end up having to pay when they misgender people? And this is, I mean, set aside the financial cost, and what about the cost to the mental well-being of the people in Berkeley who are going to be expected to go along with this madness?
we know that $600 figure is ridiculously low. I'm thinking more like six million. I'm going to go ahead and add a few more zeros here and say 6 million. But yeah, we know that's laughable. I mean, come on, just changing all the city forms is going to cost way more than $600. And like you say, what? Signs? I mean, and again, when you what happens? And that's you bring up something interesting there I hadn't really considered, Finn, and that is enforcement. I mean, if you're going to pass this as a city ordinance, then what? Are they going to start fining people for using the wrong pronouns? I mean, how do you enforce this? It's a, you know, because at some point that's the next logical step. I mean, yeah, right now they're just talking about changing the language they use in their, you know, brochures or in their flyers or whatever the crap that nobody actually reads. But we all know there's always a next step, and the next step is going to be some sort of enforcement on everybody. It's not going to just stop at, well, we as a city aren't going to call them manholes. They're going to be maintenance holes. But it's not going to stop there. At some point in time, they're going to be happy to just do that themselves. See, they've led the way. So at some point in time, they've got to force the rubes out here to go along now. They've got to follow along. They've led the way. Now you have to do it too. So at some point in time, the next the next step here is going to be some form of enforcement. So how are they going to enforce it? What's the fine going to be? In what context will you be fined or held on some level criminally liable for using the wrong gender pronoun? It's just we can see where that has to go. They're leading the way. Now it's your job to follow. Again, there's always this, they're your overlords, you're the subject. There's always that to it. All the talk of equality and feel goods, and we don't want to hurt people's feels. Put that aside, because you always can look at this. There's always that element of they're your superiors, and you are the subjects. You are supposed to lead. So they've led the way. Now it's your job to follow. See, you're submissive. You have to follow their example. So at some point, there will be some sort of enforcement here. Okay, if you refuse to follow, if everybody else says him, her, she, whatever the hell they want to, then they're going to have to take it to that next step, which they will, of enforcement. So you're going to get fined for using the wrong gender pronoun. How much will the fine be? What will the consequence? Will there be a criminal penalty involved? And we're at the point now that you can't laugh that off and say, oh, Grandpa Lampshade, you're just being crazy conspiracy. They'd never do that. I don't think anybody can now say, anybody in their right mind can now say they would never do that, because they've shown there's no limit. There's no limit to how far they're willing to take this insanity.
I think they have already started doing something similar in Britain, prosecuting people for using the wrong pronouns, or at least people have lost their jobs for using the wrong pronouns. Recently, there was a doctor who said that he was being interviewed for a job with the DWP, and he was asked if somebody came in with a beard but wanted to be called a woman, wanted to be called she, would you be able to do that? And the doctor said, well, my Christian conscience wouldn't allow me to do that. And they said, well, you can't have the job then. And he's suing them. And there was somebody else who was involved in a Twitter spat with one of these transsexuals, and she was arrested in front of her children for apparently not using the right pronouns. So this is entirely possible. And if they're going to enforce this and start fining people, obviously they're going to have some kind of special pronoun training course, which everybody's going to have to go on. This is going to cost an absolute fortune to enforce, basically. And you would have thought that somebody on that council would have suggested that. What about all the cost of doing this? But no, it's apparently just $600. Well, the changes are subject to a second vote. Perhaps they might change them if they listen to this podcast, before being written into law, which will take place on July the 23rd. But having passed unanimously on the first round of voting, there is little suspense about the measure's fate. Council members in King County, Washington, employed a similar policy last year, a move which was met with a mixture of indifference and outrage. I thought Berkeley were blazing a trail on this and leading, but no, apparently King County, Washington, they've already carried this out. This was the response when they did it. I've got to say, as a female engineer in Seattle, I really don't give a crap what you call a utility access point, one woman wrote on Twitter at the time. Critics of Berkeley's measure have voiced disdain towards Robson. What racists? How dare they? and others insisting their time could be better spent on what they deem as more important or urgent topics. But Robson was quick to point out other items of Tuesday's agenda, such as the motion that passed which made Berkeley the first in the country to prohibit natural gas infrastructure in new buildings. So now what the hell is that? Surely they can't be saying that they're proud of banning people from using gas to heat their buildings with. What the hell are they going to heat their buildings with? That can't be meaning that. Grandpa, what does it mean here? They're the first in the country to prohibit natural gas infrastructure in new buildings.
That's exactly what it means.
No way.
That's exactly what it means. If you build a new building, what they're saying is if you build a new building, you can't heat it with natural gas. You can't have any natural gas pipelines in your building. You have a natural gas water heater. You can't have a natural gas stove. And these people claim to love the environment, by the way. And natural gas is like, we have like, you just can't believe here in America, we have this ungodly glut of natural gas. I mean, we're drowning in natural gas, so as to speak here, when it comes to an energy source. It's really clean. It's really very energy efficient, much more energy efficient for like heating than electricity is. But they're literally saying here, this is progress. You cannot have natural gas plumbing if you build a new building. So you either have to have electricity, or probably better yet, in these people's idea, you put like a wood stove, a campfire.
Oh no, can't have that. Because of the smoke in the air. I mean, they banned people from having log fires all over Britain. So they can't allow that solid fuel. So what are they saying? Just solar powered heating, electric heating.
Well, they think electricity is produced by magic. You see, electricity, magic. These are the same people that think, by the way, that food comes from a grocery store instead of from a farm or a ranch. But yeah, they think electricity just magically appears in the wall outlet. And they create this fantasy about solar and wind. And yeah, I mean, solar and wind does contribute to the electric grid, but it's a very tiny percentage. It doesn't magically appear. It's produced by coal, natural gas, and evil petroleum. That's where your electricity comes
from. And nuclear power, I mean, a large amount of it comes from nuclear power stations. Is that why they want to encourage it? I can't believe that, you know, they're saying, well, don't worry about that because look how good we are here. We've banned people from using gas. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. But there we go. It's clown world that we live in. So this is taking off. We've already got it in Washington, got it in Seattle. Now we've got it in Berkeley. I mean, that's right in the north end of the country, isn't it? California, that's nearer the southern end, I believe. So this is taking off in America. So I would expect something similar to happen in Britain soon. If people don't speak up about it, that's what needs to be done. People need to speak up about it and tell people what's going on and prevent it from going any further. Grandpa, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.